This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As Christmas approaches, will Kieran McKenna and his Ipswich Town side be the Grinches that stole a point at Leeds at Christmas? Or maybe even three? This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and welcome to the pre-match show. We're going out live on Thursday in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub. And if you can't catch us live, then welcome on podcast on demand, on video, even later on. We love the fact that everyone is here and joining in and we want to hear from you in the chat. But sitting in the passenger seat of his best friend's ride, watching someone else drive his podcast, which must be weird. We always use that analogy. Ben's here. I'm here with Ben. This is fun. How you doing, mate?
Well, you've just essentially called me a scrub if I'm hanging out the passenger side of my best friend's ride. But yeah, not a big fan of December and 20% less time, 20% more jobs. I'm a big fan of being a contributor on the podcast. This is the most enjoyable bit. So host the way, Rich. And yet again, a huge game to talk about.
Yeah, we're kind of with the turkey in the Christmas sandwich, as it were, for Leeds on Saturday and then Leicester on Boxing Day. The hateful eight is kind of definitely getting very hateful right now.
It's nearly over, Rich.
It's nearly over. QPR's coming soon, folks, and then Stoke after that. And they haven't got a new manager or anything like that to have a nice bounce or something. So, yeah, we're all good. But, well, we're here to talk about Leeds. If you're a Leeds fan in the chat, do say hello. We are nice and helpful and friendly over here. Obviously, if you want to be disruptive, then we've got very short shrift for that. But we'd love to hear opposition views. We also want to hear from folk out in the chat as well. It's Christmas time. It's like we've got buckaroo. It's the last day of school. I've just finished work. I don't have to work until 2024 now. So I'm deep mob happy. I'm loving it. So, so let's say it to Michael's always with the Australian weather, Ben. Wet and cool in Brisbane. Only 22 degrees at 6 a.m. Lovely stuff, Michael. Good to have you with us. Season's greetings to Nick. There you go. If we win, if we win, Leicester lose, we'll be top of... Yeah, facts.
That is Nick's an objective fact from Nick. Yeah,
that is factual. Phillip's here. Neil is here. Ashley's here. Tim's here. A lot of love from the Telegram group. Oh, we've got a new... Buendia all from... Is that there's a Norwich thing in there, isn't that?
I think he's Greg... probably going to get a mention later when we talk about Farker as well, isn't he?
Yeah, so hello to Greg getting in there as well. Steve's feeling nervous. We'll settle for a draw. I think all of us would. It's the Mick McCarthy quote, isn't it, Ben? Don't even get on the bus if you can get yourself a point. Bluey's here. Great time to do some boring thing of rapping whilst listening to you guys cheering me up. Yeah. If you've run out of wrapping paper, if you haven't cut enough, just turn it on the diagonal, Bluey. That's the way to make it work. TikTok teaching me all the things I don't need to know. But a lot of you lovely people here, thank you for joining in. Hey, Ben's live on the Championship Catch-Up and Blue Monday. What magic is this? Oh, this
I've
is the magic.
I've got a niche wrestling reference for that. I'm ravishing Rick Rude, who appeared in the wrestling wars in the late 90s on both channels at the same time because one show was recorded and one show for both rivals. So, yes, the championship check-in is pre-recorded. I am actually sat here talking to Rich live right now. And it's going to finish in about 3 minutes.
All of them, behind the scenes magic, all of the, you know, how we bring this stuff to life, folks. You're getting
only because Parkin's got some Saudi commentary gig.
Oh, is he off? Right? Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he'd be offered kind of ex players like piss up or
working.
Something.
He's working.
His professionalism is, and that's what we want. Ashley is spitting more facts. Leicester are home to Rotherham Saturday. But stranger things have happened, as we know, as Leeds know, but that was away, wasn't it? So. Hey ho, let's talk about Ipswich Town very briefly before we deal with Leeds, Ben. Two bits of news. One, kind of both pertaining to January, really. Massimo Luongo announcing his retirement from the international football, so will not be getting an Australia call up for the Asia Cup. And I think the Ipswich Town fan base united in joy at that news. Obviously, Massimo Luongo, a really important player for us, but has had a really great international career. Ballon d'Or nominee as well. But fantastic news for us, isn't it?
It is. And you just hope, Rich, it's been done the right way, this, and there's been a real grown-up, sensible, look, you manager, let's talk. What are we going to do about this? And what's the best way forward? And if I'm not necessarily going to be needed, I can be elsewhere. And it looks like that's the decision they've come to. And obviously, we try and be empathetic and not put our footballing needs ahead. It's a guy's international career coming to an end. It's obviously a hard thing, hard decision. It will benefit us in January. And I hope he's at peace with having quit and the decisions, you know, everybody's happy on all sides.
Yeah, there's always a debate about club v country. And it's always kind of England is the one in the mix. People have up and down feelings about England, don't they? Depending on how they do in tournaments. And it's usually, would you take a promotion for Ipswich or win the World Cup for England?
Yeah.
And most people choose the club stuff, don't they? But if you're an international player and, you know, a lot of people take a lot of pride from representing their country, then it's no mean feat kind of turning that opportunity down one last time. Maybe wouldn't have got the minutes, but we need to kind of, it's a, hopefully a grown-up decision, as you say, but fair play Massimo Luongo there. You know, maybe putting club before country, perhaps, we don't know, but as you say, great news for us. And because that would have perhaps led to some thinking about January acquisitions and whether we need strength in depth in midfield if you lose Luongo. But the rumours of Mills started, Ben, and I'm loath to talk about this because I hate the transfer window nonsense. It's all a circus for me. But someone who's been mentioned quite a lot in Dispatch's relation to Ipswich for quite some time is Jay Stansfield, and the EADT and TWTD both reporting that we've kind of made inquiries. Does that surprise you? Is he the kind of player that you'd want? And does he fit the Alan Nixon 3 million and 15 grand a week hole in our pocket?
Pass on the last bit. I don't know necessarily the details. He fits it so well that we'd actually guessed he would be linked with us, didn't we? We'll be quite frank about it. No one had any in the know information, but we were sort of looking at players whose loans might be redirected about 4 to 6 weeks ago, and his name came up. What I like about it, Rich, is it's kind of the equivalent of what we did last year in League One, but kind of upper level, isn't it? The difficulty is obviously you're dealing with a Premier League club, so the fee goes up massively, but Jay Stansfield's done his kind of apprenticeship, hasn't he? Obviously, it was a bit difficult last year at Exeter because there was this big emotional pull, obviously, because his late father, Adam Stansfield, had played there and literally had a stand named after him. They retired the number, he'd taken the number. So a lot of that loan was preoccupied with when is he going to score a goal in his father's shirt, which is a non-football thing that kind of came into the conversation, far more important than football, a type of family legacy type thing. But he's come up to Birmingham this season, looks like he's good for the level. And I suppose it's the same sort of model as a Broadhead or a Clark signing, which we did get last January, of a player at a highly rated club who's maybe not going to get in the team at that particular club. And you might be able to do some kind of deal, might involve a buyback or whatever clause is needed to get him out. And you take the benefit of that club's training and you get a good player, hopefully. So yeah, looks a good one. Looks a nice sort of long term outlook, isn't it? It's not a, you know, we all love to see Billy Sharp go to Hull, don't we? But that's not a long term sign. And this is, what's your take on it?
It's an interesting different type of forward than maybe we've had under McKenna. Obviously, he signed Ladapo, didn't he? He didn't inherit Ladapo. Ladapo, Scarlett, Hurst, all physical, target men type strikers, albeit we know that Hurst does much more than that. Stansfield maybe a little bit more diminutive, but it's got that rapid pace and can actually score lots of different types of goals. We know to our cost as well, Birmingham, you know, Johnny on the spot, span and hit past Ladke, didn't he, for the 1-0 at St Andrews. But I like the idea of it. One of those signings, again, that the ownership group target, as you say, with some resale in potential in there as well. So interesting, maybe a different type of striker for McKenna to target, but ticks lots of boxes for me. So we shall see.
And Rich, someone, I know you could probably argue we could switch around a few players in our front four. I could be someone who can play all four positions, inside right, inside left, orthodox, inverted either side, 10.
I was thinking 10,
nine,
yeah.
9 at a push as well. So
yeah again, beyond Hurst from the 10 role would be, yeah. Yeah. Almost like playing a two, which we, yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's, this is the beginning of that. And if you want to indulge, unlike me, in idle transfer gossip or speculation, I can heartily suggest subscribing to the Blue Monday Telegram group, because match day chat gets converted into transfer window chat in January, and part of my soul dies. But if you like that kind of stuff, and I know a lot of people subscribing on Telegram do, then come and join us. 2-week free trial as well. So now's a good time to do it. And
can we just raise this? Michael is claiming he's got all of the Hateful Eight correct, which is outstanding if he's managed to do it so far. And he's got us winning at Leeds and drawing against Leicester, which we will all take, Richard, won't we?
I mean, yeah, fingers crossed on that, Michael. Also wanted to give a shout out to Philip, who's in the chat as well. Having a bit of a tough time this year by the sounds of it. So Philip, so sending all our love and thoughts to you, and hopefully 2024 will be a lot more positive for lots of different ways, not least for Ipswich Town as well. 2023 is going to be difficult for us to beat in terms of being Town fans, but you never
good
know.
Luck with that.
I've put off Leeds as long as I can, Ben, because I'm in the Seb Brown kind of role, albeit I'm hosting. I did some research, and every metric, stat, record that I can find to talk about Leeds just looks extremely daunting. It's kind of, doing a parachute team, a relegated team, doing what we expect, but with the added benefit of having Daniel Farker in the dugout as well. So it's going to be a tough one on Saturday, isn't it?
It's an easy rabbit hole to go down, isn't it? I suppose you can always... It is very easy to sit there and say, okay, they've got more money, they've got more resources, they've got this two-time championship-winning manager, but look where we are in the table. So I think that has kind of unpicked certain, where you look at a game on paper and you think, oh, God. Is that the hardest game of the entire season, or the second hardest game if you class Leicester away as maybe more difficult? I don't know about you. I think I'd rather play at the King Power than at Elland Road, though, as well. But at least, Rich, I'm sure we'll get onto it, with intense fan bases, you can turn them, can't you, if things aren't going so well. But no, a huge task. But this team has continually surprised us over the last year, haven't they?
If anyone is on TikTok quite a lot, and I am, Cilla Black memes are everywhere, and you just got surprise, surprise. But yeah, it would take a lot, but we will come on to us at the end, because there is a stat that I want to lob in there that gives a little bit of hope for something out of this. Worth bringing people's attention, if they haven't already looked at the league table every day for the last, I don't know, 6 months, 4 months, whatever it is. Leeds going to this third, having won 12 of their games, drawn 6, only 4 defeats, plus 15 goal difference. Home record, Ben, no defeats at home in the league, and had a 7-match winning run at home until Coventry came along and got a point. So again, if we're looking for something to give us a bit of you know, optimism, that might be it. And a defeat last week to Sunderland that maybe no one saw coming. Two weeks ago that no one saw coming. So two non-wins in the bounce for Leeds, I think, am I right?
Yeah, so they scored 1 point in the last two games, which was a big help after. It seems ridiculous. It's like a Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp standard of, if you draw a game, this is a problem. And we've got to remember, this is a 46-game league, not a 38-game league. The Leeds fans were quick to point out that they've done the away games at Southampton and at Ipswich and Leicester already. But what that does mean in terms of their home record, which is fantastic and the only undefeated home record in the league, is will be the first of the kind of big four in terms of point scoring to be visiting there, if that puts a little bit of extra context onto the home record. The only problem I've got, Rich, is we ain't going to play like Coventry did, because we know Mark Robbins very good at shutting up shop and nicking a goal and counter-attacking. So I dare say the pattern of this game might be a little different to that one.
Yeah, I think Coventry very fortunate that Root missed a few big chances, I think, in that one for them. They were hanging on a little bit, but converted to a back four and stuck five in midfield, Coventry. So they did a job. It worked, but it's maybe not necessarily our style. Evening to Alan Leedsban. Congrats on your season so far. Saturday, I see a 4-1 Leeds just as a one-off result.
I think that's called the SHIT sandwich there, isn't it?
Yeah, we do. Those kind of results do happen. But yeah. It's going to be an interesting one. Alan, thank you for coming along and joining in the chat, and yeah, set us right if we misquote or misdirect anyone on your team. Let's talk about the Battle of Portman Road, Ben. The 4-3 win, I guess, told us everything we needed to know. And maybe in terms of teams we played, this is one rare example this season where we played this team at the wrong time. Sinisterra disappears off to Bournemouth, doesn't he, after this one, but is involved. But yeah, maybe highlighting maybe some of our defensive deficiencies. Your recollections of August?
Rich, I almost want to disregard it. I see that game as a little bit of an outlier because, as you just pointed out, Leeds had this weird start where the takeover from 49ers group got delayed and delayed, which meant that they could barely announce Farker until 4 weeks before, which meant all the transfer business was delayed. Then we got this ridiculous, with Luis Sinisterra and Willy Nonto basically saying they both wanted to leave. Then they all returned for this game. This was the first game. We're going to talk about Leeds front four. Obviously, there's two different players in Leeds front four than played on this day. And the game itself was a real... It felt like it was the first time we played against a big team. And it was certainly the first parachute team we played, wasn't it? Back in the Championship. And I don't know, it felt like there was a lot of learning on the job from us and realising that we could go toe-to-toe, but also realising that if you played open against the year one parachute team and didn't have any contingency, they would wrap in three goals in 10 minutes, which is exactly what they did. But I'm not doing this to be kind of delusional, but that game to me, you then look at what Leeds have done, it's rather different, and Dan James is in and Somerville is in and Glenn Kamara wasn't around then and he's in now, and didn't quite know who the goalkeeper was going to be in that game. And I don't know, it's very easy to say we learn something and nothing from that game, really. I think we learn a lot more from looking at Leeds' home record and a lot more from that run where I think they must have won something like 8 in 11 that happened thereafter, if that's fair.
Yeah, I agree with you that it feels like maybe one of these kind of weird, freaky kind of games, because it's the three goals in the first half that do us, isn't it? You shut up shop or you hold out to halftime at 2-1 and maybe the whole complexion looks very different. The fact is it was kind of sucker punch after sucker punch, and, you know, relentless teams with that kind of attacking pedigree will do that to you. What I liked was the fact that, you know, admittedly, it doesn't count for much apart from a bit of goal difference, but Chaplin rocking up with a 97th minute consolation goal, I think, actually gave the crowd a lot of confidence and comfort that, you know, we'd play things out as we have over the last few weeks, because you get battered 4-1. You know, Alan's predicting a 4-1 on Saturday, but a 4-1 defeat there, Ben, is maybe very different at that point in the season.
You're totally right. And there's so many like you talk about the 97th minute goal to bring it back. We missed a load of chances. And then two of the goals we scored, there was an own goal. And do you remember Cody Drammer had the worst
off sub 28, isn't he, or something?
Cameo we've ever seen, where he came on and then came back off at half time or something. There was just a lot of weird things that are unlikely to happen on a regular basis that happened in that game. And I just feel that we can look, I'm not saying this to try and diminish the quality of Leeds, because there's plenty of other evidence to say that they've got plenty of it. But I just feel, as a barometer, it's probably not really a good one, I don't think.
No, I've got some stats actually from the game. So not that these matter, because it's the score that matters the most, but possession was 58-42 in our favour. XG, which I know a lot of people love out in the chat, 2.4 to us, 2.5 actually to us, 1.6 to them. Shots, 23 to us, 14 to them. But on target, 7 to us, 9 to them. Big chances, ironically, you rarely see this, Ben. Big chances, 3 to us, 4 to Leeds. So, you know, maybe some dominance in terms of certain stats, but the ones that win you the quiz, the real quiz, went Leeds' way. Let's get on to how Farker is setting this team up then, because it's most teams at this level, it's a 4-2-3-1, isn't it? But that kind of undermines the quality that they have, particularly in the front four positions, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's almost a danger, but it might be the right thing to do, to say that the Leeds team is the front four. I know they've got quality, haven't they, elsewhere, and Ampadu's done a good turn in central midfield and Kamara, but I feel Leeds, promotion or not, just depends on that front four keeping on delivering. And we know what to expect from Farker, because we've seen him win the title twice with bloody Norwich. So we know we expect high fullbacks. Now, he doesn't have a lot of strength in the fullback position at the moment. If he's playing, Jed Spencer's only just got in the team. He was brilliant for Nottingham Forest on loan from Middlesbrough, went off to Spurs, and very kind of Jack Clarke-y, Ryan Sessegnon-y type thing, where a player kills it in the Championship, goes to Spurs and never plays, and ends up getting sort of loaned back at some point in the future. So they'll be less impressive from fullback than his Norwich team was with Max Aarons and Jamal Lewis, who actually had a good game for us against Watford the other day with Ken Semmer down that side. Fortunately, Mr. Farker doesn't have one Emi Buendia or Tammy Pukki at the moment, so there's not that complete dominant player who, you know, is just Michael Jordan level at Championship level. But Jorginho Ruta in the number nine position. It's weird, this, because you'd think Pirro would be the number nine and Ruta would be the number 10. And they're kind of doing the jobs of the opposite position, but Ruta plays forward and brings people into the game, and Somerville and James run by him. And Pirro, who obviously made his debut and scored in the game at Portman Road, comes from slightly further back to get on the end of stuff. So it's a brilliant front four. It's a brilliant coach. It's a brilliant arena to go and play football in. And I think I looked up the goal contributions, and it's 49 combined from the front four, which is the bad news. The good news is there's not a lot from elsewhere in terms of damage.
I was thinking the central midfield. We'll come back to the central midfield pair, because a lot of chat about Ampadu because of the fee in the summer, but it kind of feels to me that there may be an opportunity for Luongo and Morsi on Saturday. They're certainly not amongst the goals. As you say, Somerville, 10 goals, joint third top scorer in the Championship. Pirro, 8. Dan James having quite the season, including scoring headers. You know, something's going wrong when you're conceding headers to Dan James with 7. But Root has got the most assists for them. 9 assists, joint top, along with Dewsbury Hall and Leif Davis. I'm not sure any of us back in August would have predicted that one. That is to your point, Pirro and Ruta kind of swapping places. Yeah, interested there. But Somerville, Ben's probably just had a massive kind of, I've never come across him before. Had you heard of, you know more about him than anyone here. Tell us about Somerville.
Well, I had heard about him. I didn't think he'd be, you know, because you've got this 35 million euro router who you kind of, if you're, I know ownership shouldn't tell manager who to play, but if you've signed someone for 35 million euros, could you play that guy so we can either get something out of him or get some resale going? Obviously, they bought Pirro in then for 10 million pounds with potential add-ons if and when that Leeds get promoted. I think Somerville cost 1.5 million. So you kind of looked at it. I think Dan James was a 20 million quid player to Man United at one point or other. And Nonto seems to be the one that Farker is just saying, look, don't really fancy you, whether that's his, I mean, he looks a player, Nonto. So, Somerville, like you say, seems to be the most ruthless in terms of the goal contributions. But Reuter is quality. He's really, I mean, he scored that great goal at Portman Road, didn't he, where he took it round a couple of players and then popped it in from just on the edge of the box. So there's quality on it. And then the ridiculous thing is you've then got Pat Bamford, who I know is much maligned, but is an England striker on the bench. Joe Gerlhart as well. Nonto, if needed. So they've got so much quality in the attacking positions.
Yeah, it's an abundance there, but newly relegated team. Let's quickly dive back into the chat. A lot of good debate going on there, and Alan showing his working on that 4-1, which is good. Also, shout out to Jason and Matt, who have given us a thumbs up on Facebook. We see you, Facebook. Thank you for joining and getting involved. If you're watching on YouTube, please also give us a thumbs up and a subscribe as well. We'll talk more about why subscription might be lucrative for you, but we appreciate the support at this time of year. Nudging us up the algorithms is something that both Ben and I bloody love. That's the real quiz for us. Interesting thought here from Neil. I guess it's a cliche, but we say it most weeks, Ben. First goal is critical this week. Would you subscribe to that thought?
I don't know with us, because we do tend to be very good at coming from behind, don't we? But I don't know. I'm sure many of our chat will have been to Elland Road, and it's the sort of stadium that can be the 12th man for Leeds. And I say this with love, because I've seen it happen in a playoff semi-final. It's the sort of stadium that can put a lead vest around those players, just with the sheer awe and size and expectation of it all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Greg suggested the front four are not happy campers. There was a mention of, it's a bit of a scuffle at full-time, Greg mentions, with a Coventry player shaking hands and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, no repercussions after that. Are we reading much into that?
I'd take my front four being unhappy and notching 49 goal contributions. So, you know, it's working on the pitch, isn't it? I don't know any of the players personally to say that.
No, and we haven't really talked. I mean, it doesn't matter at all now. And it has minimal bearing on Ipswich, apart from maybe it weakens them. But you wonder whether teams might come in for some of these players in January, Ben, from the Premier League, perhaps.
You would think, you would think...
That's about the promotion race less this match, obviously, isn't it?
So. Yeah, and what are you sort of talking about? Someone in the middle of the Premier League who might need some goals?
And a Wolves or a Fulham or a
looking Bournemouth. Fairly safe, so they can throw some money at it. Yeah, Farker actually said today January would be quiet at Leeds. So I don't know whether that's him being a clever bugger like he tends to be, or he's telling the truth. But yeah, we'll see if it's, you know, if he's got the got the okay, but you never know if a big offer comes in for it. Would be Reuter would be the one they wouldn't want to lose, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the universe doesn't care. Talking about the left back situation, desperately need a look at left back. Someone of the Leif Davis standard. Yeah, well, it's nice.
Should have put a buyback narrative in that deal, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you could think we got away with one there, perhaps. But yeah, some good stuff in the chat. Keep it going. A lot of Alan did give us his opinion on why he was going for the 4-1, but I can't find it now. But I think the suggestion was because we are quite open. There we go. I found it again. The reason behind my 4-1 is that you will play open football and not part of the bus like Coventry. But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, Leeds have played 22 games and not won 10 of them. So do you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's all very well saying that, but the evidence doesn't necessarily suggest that that's the game. And that's a bit unfair to all the points, all the 10 teams that have taken points off Leeds to say that they've all parked the bus, which I'm sure is not the case.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether we are as open away as we are at home either as well. But more on that later on. Need to say Merry Christmas to Nathan.
Oh, Nathan.
Upper Town. Hope you all have a good one. Nathan, thank you so much. Have a Merry Christmas down under $7.99 Australian dollars. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Nathan.
We love that, Nathan. So thank you very much. An Australian Christmas. Have you ever done Australian Christmas? My sister's done it. It's a bit of a different experience than
middle of January. I went there, but no, I was never there over Christmas. But yeah, I was I tell you what, splits up the British winter and treat the old Aussie summer in January. Yeah, beautiful.
Lovely stuff. A barbecue at Christmas time and, 30 degree heat and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, very incongruous. How it looks on the cards. I'm distracted by Christmas chat. We'll come to that later on. A few bits and pieces in terms of just to kind of flesh out some of the thoughts on how Leeds go about stuff. I mean, average possession, 55% is no real surprise. Fourth highest in the league, nearly 60% at home. High pass accuracy, high XG, high creating big chances, second highest chances. Third for highest number of touches in the opposition's box as well, shots per game, lowest shots based per game. There's all kinds of stats, Ben, as I mentioned on the top. One thing that lowest in the championship for accurate long balls by some distance.
Don't play any, do they?
So it's, and then flip it round, fifth highest for accurate short passes. So,
Rich, love all those stats, but use your eyes, go and watch 10 goals Leeds have scored under Farker, and these vertical attacks, very much like Plymouth tried to do to us at Portman Road, and Plecky had a really good game. Just you look and you think they're going to have to circulate the ball to do anything here, and that front four will quickly play right through you with two or three passes, one round the corner, runners come in narrow, someone off, and just have a look how many times that goal has been scored where you look at the back four and you think, okay, that all looks good, and knife through butter.
Yeah, one of the a few things in terms of things that we might need to watch out for, they are top for possession one in the final third.
Really?
And they're top for counter-attack goals as well. Six through ball assists as well is the highest for goals scored as well. So, those quick conversions, those turnarounds and attacking with pace, we know that front four have got that pace. So, they
and
will
Farkas
be
incisive, won't they? Farkas Norwich used to do that as well, didn't they?
Yeah, indeed. Defensively, seven clean sheets, the same number that we have. Meslier's got negative goals prevented, so he perhaps could have done better with some of these as well. But I guess one thing that surprised me was aerial duels. They're second highest for aerial duels in the championship.
Is that all
I'm
Joe
going
Rogan?
Nerdy. yeah, maybe. Yeah. Let's talk about the personnel. We mentioned the front four, but I guess the fullbacks, there was a little bit of a challenge there. No Sam Byram, as we mentioned. Archie Gray, we all bloody love, but is he playing out of position at right back?
Massively, yeah. We love him pinging the ball about in central midfield. And believe me, this is not a Ricardo Pereira at Leicester or a Kyle Walker-Peters at Southampton where you're putting a really good ball player at fullback to essentially use as a midfielder in possession. This is because Leeds haven't got any fullbacks. And Luke Ayling, it looks like his kind of time has come. And Jed Spence was injured, wasn't he? Junior Firpo is unpopular with the fans there. Sam Byram had come in. I think he got an assist, didn't he? Or certainly put in a cross that led to a goal maybe in the next phase at Portman Road. And he's not going to be around. So, they do feel light at fullback. And I'm sure when they get Spence up and running, he'll be fantastic for them. But maybe that's not yet. So, fingers crossed. And you're telling me Spence played left back?
I think so.
Last game. So as much as I turn every episode of the Blue Monday podcast into the Nathan Broadhead Appreciation Society, you'd fancy him sort of in off the left against Archie Gray, wouldn't you?
Yeah, with Leif Davis bombing long past
him. Stop it.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? The midfield duo of Kamara and Ampadu, I've alluded to before, and I'm going to repeat this phrase from last week as well, which I very much enjoyed, doesn't butter too many parsnips. It's not, is it as strong as Luongo Morsy? Is it Dewsbury Hall-esque? It's, there's obviously Ampadu high pedigree there, and Kamara ex-Rangers and played a lot of games for them. But is this maybe the area of the pitch where they're a little bit weak, apart from fullback?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, I think it's...
Help me out, mate. I'm trying to...
Rich, I think it's strong. I think... Yeah. Ampadu's kind of was the solid presence they needed in there. And I think Kamara in the game, the big head-to-head game, and this is bad news for us, that they won at Leicester. I think he was possibly a man of the match contender in that one. So Farker never had like a deep-line playmaker type guy at Norwich either. Things do happen around his central midfield. I know Morsy seems to have turned into that for us now. He seems to do bloody everything, doesn't he? Which is great. But no, I like the Leeds midfield too. And I think they you know, if you've got that front four, you just need solidity anyway, don't you, in those spots, and feed the ball through to him, right?
Yeah, and they've got the two chunky centre backs that we've talked about. Melier in goal has never really convinced me. He's, you know, good, maybe good shot stop here and there, but I think he's got a little bit of an error in him every now and then. So that'll be interesting to see. One other stat that if I'm trying to find these little rays of light to give us some hope, we've got double the number of goals that they have from outside the area. So shooting from range, you never know. And they've only scored 5 goals from set pieces and none of them direct free kicks. So the set piece danger is not as significant. Obviously, Borough, their second goal was from a set piece delivery as well. So maybe there's some way we can get there. But yeah, not too many goals conceded at home is the problem. You know, we're not talking too many there that we could talk about how they've conceded. I guess Latte Lath scored quite a good goal, instinctive goal, cutting in, didn't he, near post. So maybe that's the get shots off, Ben. It's the way to do it. Chaplin and Broadhead firing shots in on them.
Well, and this is where it's lovely being an Ipswich fan, because we know exactly what the game plan is going to be, and it's worked fantastically well. And as much as I don't want to be getting my excuses in early, you know, it is a 46 game season. We are 10 points clear. And if that plan isn't good enough to beat a year one parachute team with 33,000 rabid fans behind them at home a game before Christmas, that's not the end of the world, because it's proven that it might well. I mean, you're talking lots of great stats, Richard, but a good stat for you is Ipswich Town have won 16 games this season. You know, and they've been very good away from home, Ipswich, haven't they? So, and as you were sort of saying, slightly, I'm sure McKenna's just too clever for us layman fans to even notice what it is that he's doing differently at home than he is. But there's something, isn't there? Is where it's all a little bit tighter, or maybe teams come out against us a little bit more. So, as McKenna loves to open up his pre-matches, this is just a brilliant fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got to take heart from wins at Southampton and Watford only a week ago.
So Middlesbrough,
you know. So there you go, and thank you to the Telegram group. Only 9 goals conceded away, which is, again, Alan, why we're kind of querying the 4-1. I mean, of course it could happen. We hope it won't. But yeah, only 9 goals conceded away from home is the best in the division. So we do know how to keep the goals out. So yeah, nicely poised. I'm starting to feel more confident about it. Simo says we can afford to draw, of course. Leeds need the win. If we can do what that Sweet Corn and Sprouts did to us last week, are we celebrating like that Carrot Rod lot did? Yeah, I mean.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Talk to me about the narrative, Ben, because we've talked about this in the Telegram roundtable, which again another perk of being.
I haven't seen that yet, so yeah, definitely.
We were talking about the Ellen Road effect. Yeah, kind of, it could go both ways. But the other thing we were talking about was a lot of Leeds fans, and no disrespect meant here at all, but a lot of non-Ipswich fans have been predicting the blow up. We'd drop points. We'd, you know, go on that terrible shocking run, and it hasn't really happened. But Leeds fan in particular were kind of thinking, well, this game is the point where we overtake Ipswich.
Yeah.
And now whatever happens, it doesn't. And I wonder whether that takes some of the sting out of it, or whether it intensifies it for Farker. I don't know. It's narrative. Any thoughts?
It's so hard to say, isn't it? Because it's the sort of thing where any one of those things you've just laid out could be the case. But it depends on the result, doesn't it? So it's, do you know what I mean? It's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Look, would you rather be the team with the 10-point lead or the team with the U1 parachute payments? And I don't know, there's arguments for both, isn't there? That's what makes it beautifully, beautifully poised. Certainly, you would think we would be okay with a draw and Leeds... Probably, and you would probably think a Leeds draw, they're going to be overtaken by Southampton, who are going to QPR as well. And this is the fly in the ointment for everyone. Southampton are the only ones without a head-to-head in these next two games. Look, Leicester have got Rotherham at home in the first game, so we would assume they move nicely on to 58 points. And then it's them that comes to Portman Road in the lovely, cushy cigar up. Doesn't really matter what they do. Everything's kind of all tucked up for them. But yeah, you would suggest the pressure's on, but I'm sure both managers will be saying, look, what is interesting, Rich, is that the two head-to-heads are done this early in the season. You know, yeah. We're not even at the this will be the halfway mark, and Ipswich and Leeds now don't play each other again for the rest of the season. And we discussed this on the pod the other night, didn't we? Southampton are now going to have to do away games at all of these teams. Leeds are doing home games against everybody. So look, you know, you can then drip that in with all the other narratives. So yeah, it could go any one of the 10 storylines you sort of suggested. The result defines all, doesn't it? If that's not stating the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, what I loved as well is the guys on the pod, and you can go back and watch the flagship from last weekend, the chat about the last fixture for Leeds, which is Southampton, isn't it? You know, that feels like one of those kind of critical mass kind of moments, doesn't it? Yeah. Perfect storm moments. We shall see. Philip mentioning that Town haven't lost back-to-back games. I mean, we haven't lost that many at all, have we, Philip? So, yeah, that mentality is strong. Wherever we go, we will come back later on and do some predictions about it. Any more on Leeds, Ben, before I move on to us?
No, I think we covered it, haven't we? And yeah, like we said at the top of the show, Rich, it's very easy looking at this type of opponents to talk yourself into these on paper things. We said this even before we were in the Championship, that our pattern of play and our coaching is our £35 million striker. It is our parachute payment or what have you. So that has equaled out a lot of things this season, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just reading Carnival Nation maximum points in the next three games. It's last season all over again. Don't get too far Stop ahead it. Of yourself. And also, I think I'm trying to find the comment. It might be from Trevor here. Leeds are far more important game than Leicester, I guess.
I make him right.
Yeah. A lot of people feeling quite confident about Leicester as well on Boxing Day. We'll come back and talk about that, I'm sure, on the flagship show on Sunday.
Have you seen him play?
Well, different at home and away, perhaps, I don't know. But you can't fancy us against anyone at home, haven't you? And we've got to give ourselves some credit at some point. We're very good at, you know, on this show in particular, we obviously try to give due care and respect to the opposition. We maybe went a little bit too far last season, sometimes in League One, but certainly against Leeds and teams like that. You know, you've got to know your enemy, as it were, and we'll, we're not certainly not undermining the strength of McKenna's team and certainly the strength and the dugout of our coach and his team as well. Let's talk about us. Get your thoughts in about team rotation in the chat, because I think this is probably one where rotation and the Christmas schedule starts to play a part, perhaps, Ben. Any thoughts on changes from the team that faced Norwich last week?
So let me get this right. We've got, is it 4 in 9 days, but The last tour at home, forgive me, I should have come on knowing exactly this. So, yeah, it's interesting because we go away, home, away, which is kind of helpful, isn't it, to have that no travel, you know, in between the 23rd of December and the 1st of January game at Stoke. Joe made a fair point, Rich, on the flagship where he said it tends to be the middle game. It tends to be go at the first game where you've had the week's prep with the full team. Obviously, this means you're rotating players against a team, Leicester, who have finished fifth in the Premier League twice in the last 5 years or whatever it is. So I wonder if it's very easy to overthink and you just go strong as you can in the first game, see where you are in the second. Really, though, for me, it's a Brandon Williams, Harry Clark question. We're seeing lots of stuff about Tuan Xabien, Wolfenden and Burgess and how you manage all of that. But if you've had a week to go at it, part of me thinks you just play your strongest team and it might be unchanged. I don't know. What's your take?
I think you're right. And a lot of people are thinking, well, Tuan Xabien's got to come in because Burgess is off to the Asia Cup, unlike Luongo. But actually, Burgess has been one of our most consistent centre-backs. So you'd be loath to take him out of the team at all. I think Harry Clark has now made the right-back spot his own. So I'm the only debate really for me is it Taylor or Luongo? And the fact that Luongo is committed to sticking around here and not go off to the Asia Cup as well means I'd be playing him. So I think you're right. I think, you know, absent of any other logic, strongest team against Leeds, strongest team against Leicester, and then rotate, as you say, for QPR, for Stoke, perhaps.
And I think given what you've said about the kind of central midfield, maybe you might want Taylor's legs against Winks and Dewsbury Hall and Didi against Leicester. We're more likely to get the runaround in central midfield against Leicester than I know they come forward in this kind of 2-3-5 shape with the fullback in there as well. But against Leeds, you kind of want to just be attacking their fullbacks like you were suggesting there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Taylor back against Leicester. And yes, so interesting about Harry Clark, isn't it? Because do you remember at the live show, it was after the Preston game where Brandon Williams was incredible and it was like, oh, mate, Harry Clark ain't getting back in this team, is he?
But yeah, you felt really sorry for him, yeah.
Yeah, ebbs and flows, doesn't it? So I think I make you right, yeah. I think Clark's got that shirt back.
Here from The Universe Doesn't Care, which is my favourite name to read out, particularly for people listening on the podcast who maybe think that I'm just being rude, but I'm not. No, it's a great name. Burns, and not just because of that goal, has got back to his best. We need a proper name, don't we? I need to abbreviate it. UDC says, I would have Hutchinson on the left. Sorry, Ben, but Broadhead has gone off the ball, especially away from home. We would, again, this is another one of the debate in the Telegram roundtable. Again, this is we get some of our Telegram contributors together and have a bit of a debate and a discussion. So it's another perk of joining the Telegram group. Apologies for going into PR mode. But we were talking about whether Broadhead maybe is a home and away player. Clearly, maybe I think split opinion perhaps last week. I think maybe I was a bit critical of him. Having watched the game back, he was much more effective than I thought, and people fixated on the missed chances, Ben. But Hutchinson may be a good opportunity against the fullbacks on Saturday, perhaps?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, you'd have to be far more specific than off the boil. I'd need a better explanation than that. And I think we need to understand what our expectations for Broadhead are. What represents good, what represents bad. My take is he is still the number one player in that team in a tight game for being able to unpick a defence. I know the pattern of play is wonderful, but maybe he could have had a few things go differently in the last few weeks. But I think sometimes get behind a player and, you know, just keep him in there. I think this works to say form is temporary, class is permanent. And I see a player there who can do things that most other players in the squad can't in tight air that are not to do with the pattern of play. Don't get me wrong. I love all our players, but some of them are being put into a system and a situation that really, really helps them out. You know, is it, to use Leif Davis as an example, who is outstanding, is he going to get the same amount of numbers in a team that maybe isn't disproportionately sending the ball down the left-hand side and giving him that attacking sort of chance? So it's it swings and roundabouts, and that would be my defence of Broadhead. But love Hutchison as well. Just prefer him as a sub, I think, at Elland Road.
Town Treats, are people really discussing dropping our top scorer? Yeah, fair point there. And in terms of your first 11, which we can now do with our eyes closed and whatever you want to say, Broadhead's in it, isn't he? Every day of the week. And I talked about maybe taking opportunities from shots, either from range or pot shots from inside the area against Leeds. There's no one better apart from maybe Chaplin than Broadhead. So, yeah, I think we go with that. We stick with our strong option. And then what a great opportunity it is for Hutchinson off the bench as well, potentially. So, yeah, all very happy with that. Just checking in on other stuff in the chat. Match winner Ben. John here. Clark has the chance to go full circle at Elland Road on Saturday. Came in for a lot of criticism in the 4-3 game. A lot of freeze frames of goals conceded, I remember, on social media, Ben.
Never, ever judge anything football from a freeze frame.
Yes, indeed. And we don't know the instruction that Clark was given either. So, and John's right. Came in for a lot of criticism, whether it was fair or not. But responded brilliantly. Good game on Saturday, and it would be fitting. And that Thunder bastard has to happen at some point, Ben. We've been predicting it since he joined almost a year ago, hasn't it? So where better else than Elland Road for that to happen? Thank you, everyone in the chat. We will we'll go into predictions shortly, and then probably we're going to have enough time for a bit of Q&A at the end as well. So
let's do it.
Any questions for Ben, let save them up and stick a Q at the start, and we'll come back to those.
Tactically, I think presents are being wrapped in there now. The longer I stay on this.
Okay, well, there's your opportunity, folks. The numbers are solid, so we'll stick around as long as you've got questions for Ben. How about that, folks? Things that I need to draw your attention to. We mentioned the Telegram group a few times. 2-week free trial if you've not been a member before. A perfect opportunity over Christmas and into the new year to use that 2-week free trial. Then a subscription thereafter. And there's lots of stuff going on there, so hopefully plenty to keep you with us. And the community there is fantastic, isn't it, Ben? And match day chat comes into its own as well.
I'm never in the match day chat. I can't hack it. So I opt out of that one. But I'm very much in the discuss the pod in the Ipswich Town chat. No, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think the most flattering thing for us, Rich, without name dropping a few people, but a few people that myself and Rich would respectfully say were far more knowledgeable and in the journalism category come into that chat to have their say and to listen to what the guys are saying. So yeah, really amazing, the Telegram.
And if it isn't discussion and chat about goodness me, about cricket and the other place and pop master, all that kind of stuff, it's exclusive content as well, like the round table. So get involved. If Telegram isn't your thing and Wes Burns Travellers are, we've got another giveaway with our friends at Mazzella Designs, recreating or immortalizing that fantastic goal. If you head over to our Twitter page, and we know not everyone uses Twitter, so it's one of those ones, folks, but we are giving one of those away. We'll announce the winner after Leeds. Also, thank you to the thumbs up. There are more thumbs up on Facebook. Thank you to Adrian, Martin, and I think Ben as well, who's joining on Facebook. Please do give us a thumbs up here on YouTube as well. We appreciate it. Please do subscribe as well, because if you then head to any of our social media, including Twitter, but also Instagram and Facebook, we want to give away a town shirt. But to do that, we've set a target of subscribers, and that's what we want to do. So do support us by subscribing, not least because you get excellent content, if we do say so ourselves, a few times a week. But you might be in the running if you join the posts on our socials to win a town shirt as well, if we hit our numbers by the weekend. As always, we're brought to you in partnership with the Greyhound. Worth noting that they will be open on Boxing Day, but not for food. So if you want to go to the Greyhound before the game on Leicester, it's beers and complimentary snacks, Ben. Don't know what they might be. But make sure if you're...
It's not possible for the Greyhound to get any better. And then you tell me about complimentary snacks.
Look out for people's hands in the peanuts is what I'd say, you know. But I'm sure maybe it will be classier than that. I don't know. But thank you to the Greyhound for their support as well. We really do appreciate that. And we'll be back on Sunday. Is it Sunday? Yeah, I think it will be. Yeah, Sunday.
Literally, Rich, from this point onwards now, I don't know what day of the week it is until FA Cup, January 6th. So I don't care what day it is.
So... whatever day you're listening to this, after Leeds, in a good degree of time after Leeds, we will do the flagship show pod. We will look back. I think it's me, Joe, and Dave. It will be a pre-record, though, rather than live, because it's Christmas Eve, folks. So I'm sure you could understand. I'm sure you'll be busy anyway with family or doing other bits and pieces as well. So we will pre-record that. I'm going to go back, Ben. I'm going to hark back to the good old days of the pod and do a questions tweet post.
Wow.
A full time after Leeds. So we'll love to have your questions via Twitter or X after Leeds, or we'll do it in Telegram. But the pod will be out probably similar time, maybe 5 o'clock, sometime like that on Sunday. And then we'll keep you posted on shows. We're doing live reactions, Leicester, QPR, Stoke. We just need to pin some people down from the team, but plenty of content coming your way. Yeah, you're good, Fane. You're fine.
<I'm not. laughs>
So yeah, I think I've done everything. We'll say Merry Christmas at the end. So yeah, let's do some predictions. It means I can play the instrumental version of A Ton of Love. On Saturday before the Norwich game, Ben, I got a call on my phone, a video call, and it was from Ed. I was thinking, I feel so special. He's obviously feeling really great about the derby, wants to chat. And I happened to be walking outside Portman Road because I was meeting some mates in town. And I answered it, and he went, "I'm sorry, mate, I didn't mean to call you." And my heart sank. But we had a nice chat about the derby anyway. So thank you, Ed, for your support of the podcast. We love being able to have edited music. It's so cool. So, Merry Christmas to Ed and all the boys at Editors. Last time out, a win in the Prediction League for Ben, who's representing the Telegram group, and Ben's in the chat, so he can show some of his working for his predictions for this week. So congratulations to Ben. It wasn't a particularly high scoring week, hence why I'm not putting it on the screen, but let's have a look about what we're doing this week. You mentioned there's a few early games tomorrow, none of them particularly exciting. I'm just looking through, Ben, and probably what was yours and Sam's fixture of the week, your one to watch or whatever it is.
This one we've just spent the last 53 minutes previewing. So yeah.
There you go. So watch Ben's show for even more insight from Sam Parkin.
And Mr. Sam Parkin obviously led off with the two goals that he did score at Elland Road for...
I've wasted them, yeah. Shall I share them?
Yeah, if you tagged him in it, he'll bloody love that, I tell you.
I'll send him, yeah.
Yeah.
But Borough-West Brom's an intriguing one. We're all predicting a low goal scoring draw there, but that could go either way, couldn't it? It's fascinating, West Brom.
Yeah, a few weeks ago I'd had West Brom definitely winning that. Middlesbrough still struggling for a few first teamers, so I went down the middle on that one. If it had been at West Brom, I would have backed the Baggies, but I've gone for the draw there.
I don't know whether it's us losing to West Brom, but I suddenly have a lot more faith in them. But they don't seem to have kicked on much since that one. But other than that, Ben, there's a lot of kind of narrative matches because of managerial situations. Obviously Plymouth without a manager, Birmingham with a manager who's definitely not had that bounce. You're predicting a draw there, presumably off the back of Plymouth's decent home record, but an improving Birmingham, is that?
It's just Plymouth now is, and we obviously have intimate knowledge of Plymouth after their incredible run to beat us to the League One title last season, but it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see, because I think we all, deep down, even though he annoyed us a lot last season, we all think Schumacher's really good. And just be interesting to see how that pans out now. And he goes Stoke play Millwall. And if Millwall do not beat Stoke on Boxing Day, it's Millwall QPR, which could be a really potential switch around QPR leave the bottom three type game if it goes wrong for Joe Edwards and Millwall. So, it'd be fascinating to see how. And did you see Paul Cook has been linked with a Plymouth job?
I don't have to dust out that impression. My larynx has only just recovered.
Yeah, I don't know. Been mean to poor old Cookie, but that might be a bit of a come down, Schumacher to Cook, mightn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah, a lot of teams, obviously Championship we know is a bit of a basket case when it comes to sacking managers and so on. A lot of teams subscribing to the young coach and probably following the Ipswich model perhaps in that front, but it's not really working. Maybe Sheffield Wednesday are the only ones who have maybe got some sustained form out of it.
QPR
a little bit as well,
got 10 points in 5, yeah, haven't they? Well, look, Rich, at the end of it, everyone seems like they're going to have a 37 to 45 year old career coach in the dugout. Mick Beale back at Sunderland as well. So,
yeah, well, you're predicting Southampton to win at QPR. That's a tall order to do anything there, isn't it? But other than that, Ben, it's not a vintage week of prediction of fixtures to predict, is it? So let's focus on the main event then. And I guess both you and I have a sense of a bit of foreboding about this one.
Yeah, I've gone for 2-1 to Leeds. Obviously, in life, we have to treat the world as it is rather than as we want it to be. I would much rather that was Leeds 1, Ipswich 2. I'm just a bit worried defensively about us. I think we can score. I always think we can score, but I wonder whether they might get two up. Possibly in the first half if it goes really well for them. I agree with all the comments. I'd love us to get to the 30-minute mark without conceding, and then we can grow into the game. And I will say, every time I've remotely doubted this team, they have gone on and to bigger and better things. So I hope I'm wrong, but I've gone for Leeds to win it 2-1, yeah.
That's my attitude as well. Prove me wrong or make me feel... stupid. I love being wrong. It's brilliant. Ben,
when it involves Ipswich winning, I tell you.
Yeah, I mean, last season pretty frequently I've made that mistake. Ben, inspiring loyalty, Ben, and he won last week, so we have to put some credit in Ben's name as well. I think he predicted the win at Borough too, so Ben's got pedigree. He's going for the one all draw, so
I'll take it, Rich.
Best thing, aren't we? We're either, you and I are kind of tempting fate, kind of reverse psychology-ing it.
Honestly, that's genuinely what I believe is going to happen.
It's not 4-1, is it? Put it that way. So, but yeah, we'll see. Colin's predicting a Davis to score. HCH, Davis has been quiet in the last few games. Not bad, but the team hasn't used him as much. We love narrative, don't we? So, Michael's going for a 2-2. Both town fullbacks to score. I love when people show extra work and like that.
Well, that's going to be 66-1, probably, with both fullbacks to score. That's going to be massive. Double that. Michael.
When the fun stops, Michael. Michael's,
please play responsibly.
He's the king of
check out Match Bingo if you're interested.
There you go. People do things.
One of our subs won £1,000, Rich, on the Ipswich Norwich game. So
wow.
An Ipswich fan. Paul, yeah.
How?
What?
How do you do it, though?
He won on Match Bingo. Bought a card. Yeah, bought a card and won. Anyway. Wow. Giving them free publicity.
We'll dip into the questions while we're here as well. HCA is asking, when's your next home game? You doing Leicester?
I've been to the last two. If I'm getting, I don't know whether he's giving me stick for not turning up to Ipswich games.
I think he wants post-match. Your post-match.
For the vlogs. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to be at the Leeds game. We're off there with family stuff on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. But there is now a solid plan that I'm going to be at the Leicester game, and we'll get past the Leicester game and then we'll see about the QPR game. That's less likely, but
Stoke on New Year's Day. I think you need...
Not happening.
There's a free pie or a pint waiting for you at Stoke to justify that for me, I'm afraid. Michael asks about Freddie. Do we need to give Freddie more than the last 5 minutes to get him back to his best? It feels like we talked about Stansfield at the top of the show, Ben. His days at feel numbered, don't they, sadly? Part of last season, but...
Amazing numbers last season. But, there's no polite way of saying it, is there? But a team challenging at the top of the Championship is a very different proposition than the team challenging at the top of League One. And not that I reject the premise of the question, Rich, but I think it's a different question that needs to be asked about our striking options rather than how do we get the best out of Freddie, who has been a fabulous servant in his year and a half.
Jim, statement here more than a question. If we were going into this game knowing a win would put us 7 points clear, we'd be absolutely buzzing. We can't fail to be happy where we are, when we're done at the end of the weekend. So, yeah, context is king. As always, evening to David. Great to have you with us as well. Colin's going for a 3-3. The Sky would bloody love a 3-3, wouldn't they? Mark, 2-1.
We're on Sky, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah, Mark going for the 2-1. And Philip's going for a 2-1 as well. 2-1's getting more popular here. Greg's going for similar. Universe doesn't care. UDC, I'm going head, not Not Heart. Same answer anyway. 3-2 Town. More entertainment value. Neil, I think we've dealt with the Freddie question. He asks about Caden Jackson. Ben, I think Caden Jackson's probably going to stick around.
Rich, he? I've sold Caden Jackson for about the last 8 transfer windows and be wrong. So I'd be the wrong person to ask. Let's see what the Mark Ashton can do in terms of incomings in January. I don't want to be harsh here, and I don't know how you felt about it, Rich, but when we made this treble sub in stoppage time of Jack, who was it? And we ended the game against Norwich with Jackson and Ladapo
and Scarlett
Harness. Who else came on, Rich?
Scarlett came on as well. He brought Scarlett and Ladapo on.
I thought that's not Broadhead, Hurst, Chaplin, Burns. No. And I don't want to be, I love all of our players, but levels, yeah?
There is a first 11, isn't there? And
yeah.
And yeah. Bringing us back down to earth, but we've gone with it as well, David, so you don't feel bad about it. 2-1 defeat, he's predicting there as well. Sully, our mate in New York. Hello to Sully Tool. Feels like a tool, he says. Jack agrees. UDC, I'm abbreviating it, I'm sticking with it. Predicting Leeds, and I love extra stuff like this, extra credit. Predicting a sending off or an injury in a sub, I don't know. Nick, whoever scores first will win. There is his prediction. I think this could be topsy-turvy potentially, Ben, don't you? I'm not sure. We obviously had Neil's point from before, but yeah, I wouldn't put it surprise past any team. If we scored first, Leeds would fancy themselves to get 2, wouldn't they? So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
And as we know, we're not maybe as ironclad at the back as we could be. Eric's going for lucky 3-2. Tim, 2-1. Town. Colin, I'm not doing the 360 miles for a defeat and the 47 quid and the petrol on top of it. Yeah, fair play to the Travelling Blue Army. That is that's good loyalty on the Christmas weekend, isn't it? Metal Jace to all. Yeah, so some good stuff. And we mentioned Gareth, a few injuries to Leeds, Firpo, Dallas, and most importantly, Byron at fullback. So that's probably
the one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the ones. But yeah, other than that, we've got a QPR to beat. Saints from Nick there. That'd be a turn up for the books. Very helpful, wouldn't it? You wouldn't put it past QPR. You were suggesting they're on a bit of form at the moment.
Yeah, both Sheffield Wednesday and QPR have got 10 points in the last 5 games, which is the Blue Monday standard for automatic promotion, not survival, is it? So, I think I've been infected by Joe Fares on Joe's complete disrespect and slander to poor Russell Martin, but he's persuaded me now that Russell Martin's capable of losing any individual game, but they are 14 undefeated, aren't they?
Evening to Graham, Plymouth fan, resident Plymouth fan, Schumacher, bloody disgrace. He's obviously gone down well there.
It's Graham's opinion, not that of the Blue Monday podcast. We will distance ourselves.
We can feel sorry for you, Graham. I'm sure we've already talked about what it will be like if McKenna gets the Man United job or something stupid like that. So we know your pain there, and it'll be interesting to see who goes in there next. Colin's already gone for the 3-1 address. Another member of the Telegram group gone for a 2-1 to Town. So there's a lot of optimism around us. Alan's back. Excellent pod, guys. Very balanced. Thank you for all the fans coming to Ellen Road. Safe journey. Enjoy the day. Ellen Road's very welcoming. A long journey home, though, to reflect where it went wrong, he says. Good on you, Alan. Nice little... There's always it's light and shade with those posts from Alan. I like that.
Yeah, but there's an underlying anger, Alan, in there.
It's okay to like Ipswich, Alan. It's fine. Come and join us. Marty's going 3-0. We've got some 2-0 town. Leeds, another Leeds red card. Well, what do we think is
going
on?
That's the Portman Road where Leeds always get someone red carded, isn't it? Yeah.
Steve, why do so many still think Town are the underdogs? The table does not lie. He's going 2-0. So
I think love Steve, but I think we're into the realms of over simplicity to prove your own narrative there. The finances and the just incorporate last season's league tables, and Leeds were over 25 places above us. So yeah, he knows why Ipswich are still considered underdogs. But
and good teams lose as well. Let's not.
Yes. Yeah.
So exactly. let's not pretend that the underdog status is a factor here. It's exactly. It's the home advantage. It's the strength of the opposition, etc. Paul, one of the great ITFC Southwest guys. Sounds like they're making the trip. So that'll be fantastic for them. Nick asked a question: Championship players from outside the current top four. And that we might be looking at as a target. I mean, Stansfield fits that brief, albeit he's alone.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got the table there. Johansson, the Rotherham keeper. Sheffield Wednesday, would they sell us and scroll up a little bit?
Laser at Borough. I quite like him. Midfielder, if we need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have the utmost confidence that with our pattern of play and our wonderful coach, whoever comes in will improve, don't they? Off the top of my head, it's a real hard one to dive into. It's difficult, isn't it? Because the players that are viable from teams that would sell tend to want to go to the parachute teams, don't they? Which is a bit annoying. And the players at the parachute teams that they would ship out to make money, we're probably not going to be able to afford, and we haven't necessarily bought. So it's a real hard one to kind of pick them out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the dashboard hopefully extends beyond the championship, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens. And it's we like these high potential, low appearance making, you know, youngsters in Premier League teams. You know, Broadhead, Clark, all fit that kind of mold, don't we? So that wouldn't surprise her.
The signings that traditionally in the championship have made a difference in January have been loan signings of England under 18, 19, right. 20, 21 players from Premier League.
Diallo.
Premier
good,
League.
There you go.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Loving him in the mix. I think someone mentioned that in the chat earlier on. Talking about outgoings, a few people talk about Aluko, Danasi and Evans maybe moving on. Michael asks your thoughts on Edmondson and bringing in another left-footed fullback / and a half.
Yeah, again, I think it's the incoming player defines that, don't they? But I don't have a problem with Edmondson if we don't bring anyone in. But yeah, it's ruthless, isn't it?
Team, is he?
Can be upgraded, yeah.
Yep. We've got another 2-1 from Dagon Morningstar. That's a great name as well. David, continuing his generosity to the podcast. David, we appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you so much for another super chat. You can do likewise here at YouTube as well. But as always, a thumbs up is always appreciated. That's all you need to do, a little press of a button. 5-star rating as well on podcast. And we do appreciate everyone listening on podcast. The numbers on the podcast, Ben, always great. There's a little website that I love to look at. And yeah, we're always doing quite well on there. So thank you, everyone listening on podcast. Do give us a 5-star rating or a review. We do read the reviews. If they quote the Partridge or The Office, even better. thank you to Greg, Upper Town. Just waiting for the Clark fist pump at Leeds, says
Ooh,
Michael.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Colin mentioned Leeds under pressure. Stuart, love the pod. Keep up the great work. In town from the US. Visiting family, great to have you with us. Hopefully 2-1 town win, but thinking 2 or draw, and then heading to Portman Road on the 29th for QPR. Loving that. I think, Ben, I think I'm afraid. Oh, here we go. I'll end with Stephen. As a town fan, it wouldn't hurt taking 2 points from the next two. If we can't catch Leeds, it's not all doom and gloom. Think town will need to cover over 90 points to get up. I believe. There you go. Ben, I'm afraid you're going to have to do some present wrapping.
Not doing it.
No, well, I'll let you do all the editing and post-production stuff if you want.
Okay, I'll go and do the wrapping.
But thank you, everyone, for your question. We will be back for the flagship show on Sunday, albeit, as I mentioned, pre-record. So get your questions in via Twitter or Telegram if you're over there. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Numbers have been great for this time of year. So thank you, everyone, for getting involved in the chat, your predictions, your thoughts on the rotation. 2 giveaways on social media, so do check those out. And as we keep boringly saying, thumbs up, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Ben, I have to say, come on, you Blues at the end. That's a Seb and I tradition.
You have to say thank you to Steve.
Oh,
first,
yeah, Steve. Merry Christmas to you, Steve. Thank you for your generosity as well. Happy Christmas to you. Thank you for your support. Everyone's being so lovely and generous tonight, Ben. It's because you're here. You know, it's a different vibe.
I've been getting abuse on YouTube today. So this is just the earth, even the universe, even in itself out. We should plug, Dave was on a Leeds podcast. The other night, I can't remember what it's called. Type in Leeds podcast, David Diamond.
Yeah,
and
I
think I'm going to be on with Just Joe at some point tomorrow as well. Okay. So if you want to get the Leeds view and me trying to kind of talk him round, then check that out as well tomorrow.
Yeah, LS11 is the podcast. I've just retweeted it. I think they shoved it down a Patreon feed, but I'm sure we can access it now. I think it's early. Prediction early access for Patreon for them. Ben, this might be your last podcast appearance, at least on Blue Monday of the season. A lot of people say Merry Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So do you want to say Merry Christmas and all that kind of stuff back to everyone?
I'd love to say Merry Christmas. I'd love to say thank you for everybody watching and listening. But really, the team this year has given us more than anyone could.
2023.
You know, we do Chef's the podcast. Kissed. Yeah, we do the podcast for fun, and we hope that the team's good and it's a bit of a bonus and all of that. But yeah, thank you to you guys. But the big thank you is to one Kieran McKenna and the best year, whatever that happens in the next three games, unless we lose them all 5-0 or something. We have had the best 2023 ever. And we've always said, Rich, the podcast isn't about us. It's about the football, and the football this year. Just wow. So that would be my takeaway.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. We, as I said, we'll be back on Sunday. So me, Joe and Dave will be talking about Leeds. So do tune in then. But in terms of live chat, we'll have some stuff over Christmas, but last time out live. So from me, thank you everyone for joining in this season or this year. We'll obviously be back in the new year as well, but Merry Christmas to everyone. However your Christmas looks, there's plenty. If you are bored and don't want to play, I don't know, what games do people play these days? If your jigsaw is done too soon, there is so much old archive content, interviews and all that kind of great stuff over on the channel. So do head there. But probably the best thing I say is go and join in the chat and Telegram, because I'm sure that will be going 24/7 over Christmas as well. Ben, thank you for joining me. I've had a lot of fun, and we've got an extra 12 minutes out of wrapping for you. So we've done our best. Thank you, Evan, for joining. And yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed that There's a gift wrap 1 or 3 points coming back to Suffolk from Ellen Road. And yeah, come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.